Rise up!
This is the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the Arizona Cardinals site, from the USA Today NFL Wire. And my co-host is Seth Cox from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, the Arizona Cardinals site, from SB Nation. And he is also one of the hosts of the original Draft Breakdown podcast. Seth, it's been a whirlwind of a week, trade rumors and whatnot, but tell us what's going on with the, as we get through the college season. We're coming up on the final stretch of the college season. What you guys got on the podcast these days?
Man, it's a good thing the Cardinals don't need a quarterback. That's all I can say right now. And so with that, you know, it's a great draft for the Cardinals to need a pass rusher. Justin and I talked about that last week. This is going to be a deep pass rushing class and probably the best position group. But there's also some good, really good cornerbacks as well. So we know they need some cornerbacks. And there's going to be a lot of talent at the receiver position. So, you know, if they let AJ Green walk, you know, if they move on from Andy Isabella and they want to go get another, you know, big man outside, there's going to be some options with that this year. So a lot of good draft stuff going on right now. But, you know, we're also enjoying the NFL season, and you know, it's been different to not be talking about or thinking about the draft at this point as Cardinals and Browns fans for Justin and I.
Yep, it's fun. Now, unfortunately, though, because the Cardinals played on Thursday night, we haven't had a chance yet to get on the air and talk about what ended up being a heartbreaking loss in a game that the Cardinals could have won at the end. We will talk about that in this edition of the show. However, since what actually happened recently, this is recording on a Tuesday night, the trade deadline came and went. There are a few things that happened in the NFC West, but not with the Cardinals. We'll talk about the reactions to the trades around the NFC West and the league. We'll react and talk about the moves the Cardinals didn't make. Then we'll jump into that sad loss to the Packers, discuss what that has to do into, like, how do we think of this team now? There's some injuries to be concerned about, and we'll look at their week 9 matchup this weekend against the San Francisco 49ers. So let's go ahead and start off in episode 331 and talk about the trade deadline, which came and went. I know the Cardinals were involved in a lot of rumors. I don't know how substantive any of those rumors were. Let's kind of name off the things that we heard. We heard that Andy Isabella was drawing interest around the league, and that honestly, the Cardinals turned down a number of offers before the season began. He remains on the roster. Whether there was actual interest, but there was discussion about how the Cardinals could or should go after Philadelphia Eagles defensive tackle Fletcher Cox. Didn't happen. And then also there was a little bit of fun with Green Bay Packers cornerback Jair Alexander. That was more his doing because he followed the Cardinals on Instagram and then posted on his stories chapter 2 suggesting that there was something coming. That didn't happen. Were you surprised by the... So we already talked to Zach. So obviously the Cardinals made a trade before the deadline a couple weeks ago and acquired tight end Zach Ertz, and that's been a good addition thus far. Now, were you surprised / disappointed that they didn't make any other moves before the deadline?
No, I mean, it would have been nice, but it's tough to get a Fletcher Cox. You know, and we'll talk about this, but you saw what the Rams gave up to get Von Miller, and people are like, well, why would they give up a 2 and a 3? And basically, it's if you take Von Miller or let's just say Fletcher Cox, if you take Fletcher Cox at his salary, whatever it is, you probably get him for, you know, a fourth, maybe a fifth. If you take Fletcher Cox and the Eagles pay some of his salary, that's when you have to start giving up second and third round picks. And that's what makes it hard is, you know, while you're all in this year and you're definitely playing for this year, you still have to keep an eye on the future, because this isn't, you don't have 32, 33 year old Matthew Stafford. You have 24 year old Kyler Murray. So your window theoretically is much, much larger. So, you know, if you end up selling your, say, let's just say they give up a second round pick for a Fletcher Cox, so the Eagles eat some of that salary when he comes over, then next year you've got to make sure that you get, you know, a game changer in the first round. And then, oh, by the way, you know, do you resign Fletcher Cox? Do you extend him? How do you make that the money work? There's just too many things. The Rams are truly in a two-year window where they're just throwing caution to the wind. It doesn't make a lick of sense. We've really never seen it before. And if they don't win, they're going to have a big hill to climb to get out of it. The Cardinals aren't in that window, and they don't need, because they're still as good, if not better, than the Rams, but they don't need to overextend themselves to the point where, you know, after they pay Kyler, that they're, and I don't want to take a shot like this, but then they're the Kansas City Chiefs, where they're so weak at key positions that they're having to, you know, they're having to rely on their quarterback to literally do everything and just pray that he can do enough, make enough plays to win games. And so I'm not disappointed. I'm not, you know, I'm not surprised. I would have been more surprised if they were able to get something done for a insignificant, you know, cost to acquire another talented player. So to see it not come to fruition, because we got to remember, I mean, they already added Zach Ertz. That's a huge, I mean, and he's played super well in two games.
Yeah, for me, the Cox piece, now I wrote up Cox piece about the trade, and it was riffing off of Doug Farrar for Touchdown Wire over my network. And Cox to the Cardinals for a second round pick was one of his five trades that weren't going to happen but should. And let's be honest, like, why wouldn't the Cardinals want Fletcher Cox, considering the impact? Now, he has not had a good statistical year this year. Whether that is more of a case of his role in the new defense, or if, you know, he's now 30 years old, I'm nearly 31 years old, he'll be 31 years old later this year. But through eight games, he has one sack, 12 tackles, and that's after he had 6.5 the year before. He's had as many as 10.5, but he's, you know, he has been a Pro Bowler the past 6 years, and he would definitely fit the bill of the type of player the Cardinals have been adding, especially with the uncertainty or the potential season-ending injury to J.J. Watt. And yeah, that's kind of the thing that we're looking at. So the idea of getting him for a second-round pick, super appealing, especially since, let's be honest, the Cardinals, I mean, well, the Philadelphia Eagles would have been crazy, absolutely crazy to trade him, because he was going to incur like a $52 million dead money hit, because earlier this year, they redid his deal and they paid him up front almost all of this year's salary and next year's salary. So who, if the Cardinals or any team had acquired Fletcher Cox, they would have been on the hook. They would have only, so Cox was only on the hook for $2.1 million next year. And you wouldn't take on any of that dead money. So you'd be paying him about $1 million the rest of this year, $2 million next year, and then $1.5 million the year after that. And so you've got one of the best interior defensive linemen in the NFL, which is why, guess what? Since the Eagles had already paid him all that money, they were going to ask for the sun, moon, and stars to get him because he's still a great player. Just like because the Broncos paid Von Miller $9 million of his salary for this year already, so they redid the deal so that the Rams were only on the hook for $700,000 the rest of the year, so it made it work for the cap. That's why they had to give up 2 draft picks for him. So, while I would have loved to see it, because, if there's anything we mentioned in last week's show, if you can pull off a championship, if you get your fans a championship, that's something that the fans remember forever. The only championship of a major sport that Arizona sports fans have here is that is 2001, the Arizona Diamondbacks. And if you're like me, any Diamondbacks fans who remember that year, it still feels like, even though it's been 20 years, it doesn't feel like it. That sort of thing makes a mark for a lifetime. And it does wonders. Now, that said, not surprised. The only thing I was mildly surprised about was perhaps Andy Isabella not getting traded, but at the same time, they can still, it's not like they needed to trade him, and he knows their system, and they like him. He just doesn't play. And he's going to be worth just as much in the offseason as he's going to be worth now. And because all he's going to pick up for him is, something on day 3 anyway. So you might as well keep him around right now for the rest of the season. And you can still trade him before the draft to pick up a 5th or 6th rounder in the draft for this next year. So that didn't make any – I was surprised about that. The Jair Alexander was never happening. The people kind of talked about, well, you can get Melvin Ingram. Why in the world did the Cardinals need Melvin Ingram? They've got Marcus Golden, and they got Chandler Jones, and they got Devon Kennard. And like,
because people just like names.
Like Ingram didn't. Fletcher Cox makes sense. Melvin Ingram never made sense.
Right. Fletcher Cox makes sense because he's in turn replacing J.J. Watt. Melvin Ingram doesn't play J.J. Watt's position.
He plays Chandler Jones, Marcus Golden's position, and they're, unless you're saying that,
right.
Unless you're trading Chandler Jones, which they're not going to do.
Well, or one of them was actually hurt,
Yeah.
Like you don't trade for a guy with the idea that, oh, he might get hurt. So we better go get a Melvin Ingram. And that's the thing is everybody wants to go tit for tat, right? So it's like, oh, they went and got Von Miller. Oh, okay, well, we'll go get Melvin Ingram. Okay, then again, would Melvin Ingram help this team? Absolutely. Like, Justin and I are not saying that he would not help.
He wouldn't be happy here.
But he would play, 50% of the snaps. I mean, that's all he would do. So, yeah, it's just like you gotta be realistic about what your expectations are. And so, with that, I thought everything that they didn't do actually made sense. I mean, they like what Andy Isabella is bringing on special teams this year. He's actually playing well on special teams. I know that's not what you want to hear about your second round pick, but you sometimes have to take what you can get, right? And you got to take the positives where you get them. And then they just weren't in a position to pay the cost for Fletcher Cox. While the idea is wonderful and great, it's probably not the best decision to make at this juncture.
Absolutely. Trades around the NFC West and around the NFL. So the most notable trades happens, obviously, Von Miller to the Rams. We talked a little bit about. I find it an interesting move for them, and I don't know how much better it makes them, because it does give them. Coast. You've got Leonard Floyd on one side, Von Miller on the other, and you've got Aaron Donald in the middle. I don't know if it makes them significantly better on defense, especially with some of the issues that they're having. So their kind of issues defensively have kind of been against the run, and Von Miller doesn't give you anything that way. So in terms of what the Cardinals are going to do against the Rams, so they still have one more game against this season, and you're kind of looking at the rest of the year, how much better do you think Von Miller makes that team?
I mean, he helps their pass rush, and that's really all this trade was about. This trade isn't going to necessarily win the Los Angeles Rams regular season games. This trade is 100% to get past whether it's the Cardinals in the NFC West or the Packers.
Kyler Murray, Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott, Tom Brady.
And Tom Brady. Yeah, that's all that this is about. That's literally all that that is about. They're going to go the same route the Cardinals went, right? They're going to be like, we dare you to run the football. Dare you. Like, they're going to try to outscore teams. And so you look at, you know, they have Tennessee. They caught a humongous break, obviously, with Derrick Henry going out for the year. You know, that's a huge – and not just because we want the Titans to beat the Rams, but, I mean, Derrick Henry was literally having a once-in-a-generation type of season. But they have the 49ers who love to run the football. We saw the Green Bay Packers be able to play well against a good pass rush. They have the Cardinals, obviously, who are one of the best rushing teams in the NFL. And then they have the Baltimore Ravens as well. So the regular season, you know, they still could be a team that ends up at, you know, 12 and 5 or 13-4. But this is specifically for the playoffs. That's what this is. We're going to get after, like you said, Kyler Murray. We're going to get after Dak Prescott. We're going to get after Aaron Rodgers, and we're going to get after Tom Brady. They know, they understand what's in front of them, and they know on the other side it's Josh Allen, and even though they're playing incredibly badly right now, Patrick Mahomes, right? Like, you have to get after these quarterbacks. If you run into Baltimore in the Super Bowl, you just game plan the hell out of it. You just hope you can stop their rushing attack, right? But for the most part, you're gearing up to bring pressure in the playoffs against these great quarterbacks, and that's the only way you can stop these teams. And so, you know, to your point, this isn't going to change a whole lot in their rush defense. They're not going to be a team that's going to go out and shut down the rushing game. But what it is going to do is it's going to prepare them and help them in the playoffs. And that's what their goal was.
Absolutely. Going on to, there was a minor move made by the 49ers where they acquired pass rusher Charles Omenihu. I don't know, like, obviously, the 49ers have a nice setup up front. You got D Ford, you've got Nick Bosa, you add Omenihu, Eric Armstead. But since it's a late round pick and he's really not done a whole lot, he just adds a little rotation things. The Melvin Ingram to it doesn't affect the NFC West, but Melvin Ingram to the Chiefs is super intriguing, especially for this week because the Chiefs host the Packers. And so here's to hoping that Melvin Ingram balls out for the Chiefs so they can beat the Packers so that the Cardinals can pull ahead of them, assuming they beat the 49ers this week. That's all I have to say about any of those trades. It's like, I don't think, like, the Zach Ertz trade was already our surprise, and they didn't wait to the wire to do it. In fact, I can't think in recent history, correct me if I'm wrong, have we ever had in the years we've been covering a trade deadline move made by the Cardinals? Because even the Adrian Peterson trade from a couple years ago, that happened, it wasn't at the deadline. It happened a few days before, if I recall.
Right, and so, you know, the NFL trade deadline's really about, it's rarely impact players, right? It's rarely guys in their prime moving. I mean, because even the Ertz trade, like, Ertz is on the wrong side of 30. It's not like he's 27 coming off 3 Pro Bowls. He's 30, and I don't think he's been to a Pro Bowl in 2 seasons, if I remember off the top of my head correctly. You know, so and not there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that that's just the way the NFL works, because it is such a game that hinges on singular players in terms of like, oh, if the quarterback goes down, you know, the season's kind of shot anyways, do we? And so you never want to go all in unless it's closer to the end. And that's why, you know, you've seen the push to, you know, move the trade deadline back, right? Like, you've seen that push before in years past to see it move back to the end of November, start of December. So teams that are close can, you know, make a late season move to get a guy to make a run, as opposed to now when there's, you know, half the season left and a team that's 4-3 really has to make a tough decision. Like, right, do we trade a lot for Fletcher Cox, or do we just sit on these picks in case we end up, you know, going 8-9 or 9-8 and picking 15th or 16th overall?
Right. And you have to think about, you know, this is 2 weeks later. It used to be the trade deadline used to be week 6. And yeah. So nothing ever happened.
And I think the thing, I think I've heard them say before they'd like it in week 10.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So we might see that now that there's a 17 game season. You might be able to, you know, wiggle that in there. It's just, it is. Yeah. Week 6 was where it used to be. And that's even tougher, right? Like, cause think about it. If you're 5-1 and you're the LA Rams, and we'll use the Rams cause we don't want to jinx anything, but if you're the Rams and Matt Stafford goes down, are you trading for Von Miller? Probably not.
No. I mean,
and so that's the thing, is this gives you a little bigger window into what your season may be. And so that's what the whole thing is.
Absolutely. Coming up next on the Rise of Sea Red podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's move on and look back at that oh so frustrating end of the game and the game in general. Talking about the loss to the Green Bay Packers on Thursday night. That's coming up next on Rise of Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web, and the Cardinals are now 7-1. They had their winning streak snapped. They are now 7-1. 24-21 loss to the Green Bay Packers. We know what happened at the end of the game. The Cardinals nearly had a primetime signature win, magical, the Murray Magic type thing. They nearly drove 99 yards in the final minutes after a fourth down stuff to win the game. But instead, it's an interception. They suffer their first loss of the year. Aside from how the result, like the how it ended, how disappointing was it for you, or damaging into how you see the Cardinals, the fact that they lost that game to the Packers? Did it change anything?
No, it wasn't, because honestly, they played really poorly at times on both sides of the ball, and they still should have won. Like, it still took one more Arizona Cardinal mistake for them to win. It wasn't even like, you know, it wasn't even like they had a Hail Mary or something at the end and it got intercepted. Like, it literally took just a missed audible and a fluke play for the Packers to win. And that's just, you know, that's how it goes. And you feel at the time, you're like, man, like, they should have won that game. And then you kind of step back and you're like, you look at everything. It's like time of possession. Man, the Packers just own the time of possession. A lot of it self-inflicted by the Cardinals, right? Two big turnovers by poor rookie Rondale Moore. He had a brutal game, and yet it was a third mistake that cost them the game. Like, yeah, you can go back and be like, oh, if, you know, this doesn't happen, then they probably win. And if this doesn't happen, they probably win. But I mean, literally, even with those two gaffes by Rondale Moore, they had the ball on the 4-yard line to win the football game and should have. And so, like, that's my takeaway from it. They didn't play particularly well. The Packers, you know, people are like, and I think it was Jody Oehler of extra 910 that said, you know, the blueprint's out on the Cardinals. It's like,
I don't know
if you can have a blueprint that includes Rondell Moore muffing a punt. And I know he didn't technically muff it, but muffing a punt and then Rondell Moore letting the ball hit off his hands and bounce, and then his helmet, and then bounce up for an interception. Like, that's not a game plan. That's just self-inflicted wounds by the Cardinals. And yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, the Packers played better, but I don't think the better team won the football game.
No, and that, here's the thing. Both sides had attrition. So the Packers already entered with the number of injuries that they've been dealing with, but then they add on top of that, they lose Davante Adams and Alan Lazard, which, as we were heading into the game, if we were our show last week, we felt that they had the potential to be one of those games that got away from them. The Packers did have a really good game plan. Their defense really did well. They stuck to the run and got the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands very quickly. And it was very clear that the Cardinals defensively didn't want Aaron Rodgers to beat them down the field. And so they gave some space underneath to do that. And you're going to be one where you're going to give something up. But then the Cardinals, DeAndre Hopkins, clearly not 100%. He had the great play early, but then the hamstring was bothering him. They were down to their third string center, Sean Harlow. But you guess what? You go into a game and you're third string center, you're like, yeah. Well,
and you saw on several snaps that he, you know, it was just high.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate. I mean, he didn't play. I mean, he's not the reason they lost at all, but his play did not help the cause.
No. And then they were without J.J. Watt. They still hadn't gotten Corey Peters back. So they're both teams.
Zaven Collins gets hurt.
Correct. Zaven Collins gets hurt. So both sides were depleted in terms of injuries.
It just made a bigger deal for the Packers because they were without their top two players at one position group. And so everybody could make a big deal out of, well, the Packers were without their top two receivers. But that's the thing, is if the Cardinals were without DeAndre Hopkins and A.J. Green, you know, they still would have prefer that, I would guess, over everything else they were without in that game.
And they were kind of without DeAndre Hopkins. It was kind of amazing because, and we said this on the show before, is that if Hopkins can just be good and like well enough to be on the field, his presence changes things, especially with the fact they weren't able to game plan. So they had Antoine Wesley in his place, instead of shifting things around where AJ could take his spot and things like that.
And Wesley made a really nice grab on fourth down.
He did, but there were other plays he didn't make because he's not DeAndre Hopkins. And that offense really looked more 2020-ish without Hopkins on the field, because it changed how defenses gave them looks. Now, I will say this. What in the heck, of all things, was AJ Green doing in the end zone? Because if he knows what he's supposed to do, and I've never heard Cliff Kingsbury even come close to placing blame on a player on a mistake. And he all but said AJ messed up. Now, he did it in the nicest way possible. There was a miscommunication, but he said that was the right matchup. It was the call we had. It was the ball was there. And it was. If A.J. turns around, Rasul Douglas can't make a play on that ball. A.J. Green catches it. It's a touchdown. I'll be the first, you know. He's not why they lost. So A.J. Green is not why they lost. He's the reason why they didn't win. And it was a collection of other mistakes that led to the loss. Rondell Moore, again, we mentioned, had a bad game. His fumble, his muff there, where he didn't, that cost him 3 points. The interception that went off his hands, you know, wasn't a perfectly thrown ball, but you hate to see that sort of thing, led to another 7 points. So essentially some quote-unquote mistakes by Rondell Moore cost him 10 points, and they would have won anyway. But then it was just the glaring one at the end where Murray takes some almost 99 yards. That would have been, like, I say, Kyler Murray was about to Aaron Rodgers Aaron Rodgers.
Well, and that would have been the MVP moment, right?
Yes. Like, yes.
That would have been it, where people are like, this dude is, you know, he's the MVP. Like, that was amazing. And it's, I mean, it just sucks that it didn't come to fruition. But, and at that juncture, it did suck. But the other part is, it didn't suck because, again, they had a chance to win still. And so, like, everything that could go wrong did go wrong, and they still had a chance to win.
Coming next on the Rise Up Secret Podcast, the Best of Cardinals Talk on the web, we'll talk about what this means for the Cardinals. What does it mean for the Cardinals with the loss? Does it change how I view them? That's coming next on Rise Up Secret. We're back on the Rise Up Secret Podcast, the Best of Cardinals Talk on the web, and let's take a look at what we think of the Cardinals now that they've lost. In terms of how I view this team, you know, I know there's concerns with injuries, and we're going to talk a little more about that later. So the loss to the Packers doesn't change what I think about them. It just changed where the tiebreakers are. I still think at the way things look right now in the NFC, it's really a toss up. I don't think any one team is playing better than the Cardinals. I think the injuries and how they respond to them over the next couple of weeks are going to be really telling. But in the NFC, it's the Rams, the Cardinals, the Packers, the Cowboys, and then the Buccaneers. Every single one of those teams is very capable of being a Super Bowl team and winning the Super Bowl. All of those are teams where the way they're playing right now are championship caliber teams. Every single one of them. And that's, and it's really not even like the rest of the NFC is just kind of like, eh. And things could change. But right now you look at those five teams and you're like, all five of those teams are going to, it's going to be really fun to see what's going down the stretch of the season with them.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like, you can say that about everybody with health, right? Like, if the Packers go without Devontae Adams for the rest of the season, you know, obviously we talked about it, but the quarterbacks are the key, and you know, if any of those top quarterbacks go down, every team season's over. But you know, if you lose, let's say, Aaron Donald's probably a little heavy, but like if you lost Leonard Floyd, right, on the Rams, like, or Jalen Ramsey, that's a little better. You know, if you lose Jalen Ramsey, that's, you know, that's probably the equivalent of the Cardinals losing J.J. Watt. Like, that's a big deal, but I don't think you're phoning in the season at that point, right? Whereas if you lose Matthew Stafford, you're like, well, good try, guys. we're back where we were with Jared Goff, right? And who's the guy that beat the Cardinals last year? That I can't remember his name, but at the end of the season. But yeah, so it is, you know, as long as these quarterbacks stay healthy, there's a really good chance for any of those five teams. The reality is, I'm taking the Bucs until somebody beats Tom Brady. I mean, that's just, I just have a rule at this point that until somebody actually beats Tom Brady, I'm taking Tom Brady. Like, that dude's been to more Super Bowls than, you know, I've been to NFL games in my lifetime. And I used to have season tickets. Like, this guy's insane. So it's just, you know, but like you said, there are legitimately five teams that are good enough to compete for the NFC this year. And you want to see those five teams, as much as we're Cardinals fans and we want the Cardinals to be the team, you also want to see everybody healthy and playing at their highest level. You don't want to, I mean, obviously we're never going to shake off a Super Bowl and be like, well, it was too bad that Aaron Donald was out. But I mean, you do want to beat teams with their best. The same way that the Cardinals would be, you know, if they were to lose and J.J. Watt happens to not come back, that would 100% be on every Cardinals fan's tongue.
Well, just like 2014, 2015, like, yeah, like, the 2014 season work, that was that team, as good as they were in 2015, 2014, I think they were even better. And we had a playoff run wasted on Ryan Lindley, and we apologize to Ryan Lindley. It should have been Carson Pollard, it should have been Drew Stanton, but Ryan Lindley, whom, like, if those of you who have been listening to the show a long, long, long time, I have a place in my, a soft spot in my heart for Ryan Lindley, but when this team had a championship run in it, Ryan Lindley started an NFL playoff game for the Cardinals.
And they still almost won.
Yes, because the Panthers were atrocious then, too. That was a really bad playoff game. Really, really bad playoff game. And then in 2015, you got the Tyrann Mathieu ACL tear, the finger for Carson Palmer. Things just fell apart. And so there's a bunch of what-ifs. And we're used to these what-ifs. And it's unfortunate on so many levels. But yeah. For me as a Cardinals fan, I don't root for misfortune like injuries. Like, it would be fantastic if Aaron Donald had an ankle sprain or a calf or a hamstring. He can't work through that ends up being the difference. I'm okay with that. But as an NFL fan, I hate seeing players go down and, you know, these teams that are built to win to sort of fall apart. The Cardinals fan in me is like, I don't care. I want the Cardinals to win the championship no matter what. But the NFL fan in me, the professional writing about the NFL, it's so much better to write stories about success than it is about what if and having to turn things like you see Jameis Winston go down for the year. Just
I know
that was crushing. And for me, especially, it happened on a play on a tackle that shouldn't have been that happened. That horse collar, that grabbing the nameplate, they changed that. It's like that exact injury is why they make that tackle illegal, because a player has no way to protect himself when you pull him back. You know, he's upright and he gets pulled backward like that. It's just crushing. For a guy like Jameis Winston, who so much talent, couldn't quite get it together in Tampa Bay, now has an opportunity, he's really playing well, and now, you know, the Saints are going to be, like, depending on how things go, the season's going to be wasted on Trevor Siemian. I know they've got Taysom Hill, I just don't believe in him. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and that's so devastating for teams, man.
It's like, rough. Losing a starting quarterback honestly, the loss to J.J. Watt, the loss to Max Williams, those things really hurt the core. Like, Tyrann Mathieu's injury, it changed the kind of the swagger that defense had, because the heart and soul of that team, that defensive unit, it was gone. And,
correct.
And he hadn't had enough time to recover enough to be that heart and soul again. Kind of like how we've seen other times, they stick around and they're still able to be kind of the heartbeat of that team. But that's enough of that. Coming next on the Rise of Sea Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. The Cardinals, even with, you know, what's going on, they have a number of injuries. We need to look at that injury situation, players coming back, players are hurt. What does the outlook look at moving forward? That's coming next on Rise of Sea Red. We're back on the Rise of Sea Red podcast, the Bizarre Cardinals talk on the web. Cardinals, with injuries, it's happening. Every single team has them, but it looks like the Cardinals are having hit right now. Okay. They've got the J.J. Watt thing. You've got Rodney Hudson coming back. Now you've got Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. Zaven Collins. I think there's a couple injuries we're still not sure about, because the injury report has not come out as of the time of recording. By the time the episode drops and you listen to it, we're probably a little more knowledgeable as to what the injury status of some players. But how concerned are you with the injury situation about the Cardinals right now?
You know, there's only two injuries that I'm super concerned about, and that's Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. Everybody else is, I mean, you're concerned, but I feel like there's capable replacements. I mean, we talked about it even for J.J. Watt. Watt's probably biggest thing was his ability to open things up for other guys. And he's not exactly being replaced by doing that, but I think you can get enough from other guys to fill that gap. Hopkins is completely irreplaceable, and you know, we talked about that earlier. you saw that in the game, right? I mean, what do you have, 15 snaps or whatever? And
like, and those 15 snaps, they like averaged 11 yards a play or something like that.
Well, and outside of the injury, or not the injury, sorry, the interception, they would have scored on those two drives. So that's the best part of it, right? It's like every time he was in, they're moving the ball and scoring. And when he's not in, they're, like you said, they're a shell of themselves. Now, clearly it'll be different if he's not playing in the game from jump street and they're able to game plan for him not to be there. But this isn't going to be a top five scoring offense without DeAndre Hopkins.
No, it's not. It's going to be super inconsistent. So last year with him, they just didn't have the depth behind him to do well. This year they do, but it's built to be great because of Hopkins. Like, if I don't know how they would do it. I don't know if they would change the route or if they would shift AJ to the X, and because what they did last week is they just put Wesley in the X spot. I don't know if they'd shift things around and let AJ Green be kind of the X and then put Kirk as the Z and then put someone like Andy in the slot, or if they play Andy and
do we see Andy, right?
Like, that's be interesting to see, because I know they like Antoine Wesley, but he's the guy that he plays X. He plays the Hopkins position. But yeah, I'm actually the one that concerns. I'm not super concerned about Hopkins, as I think that he'll be fine, because he plays through a lot, and being the short turnaround, I think, is what limited him. Had it been played on a Sunday, I think he would have been able to play the full game, you know, playing it at 75-80%, but still making a large impact on that. And with that as well, the hamstring getting the long weekend, I think he'll be fine this week. But Kyler's, it'll be interesting to see, because we don't know how. It's definitely an ankle sprain. He's played through injuries before. I know some people say, go ahead and sit him, do the strategic sit. You know, he's a type of competitor that it's not like, it's not like some scenario. So it's if he's, because of having Colt McCoy, let me put it this way, because they have Colt McCoy and the trust in him to be able to be a caretaker for this offense and still produce, that you don't need to put Murray at risk. But if he's well enough to play, you let him play, because that's what you do. Even against the way this conference is going, you really can't afford to sit players just out of luxury, just out of rest. That said, if he can't run, that's one thing. If he can't throw, that's completely different. If he's not able to be quarterback as opposed to mobile quarterback, then you don't plan. But if he's going to be limited in the run game, that's fine. You can work around that and just make sure he passes, and he has to trust his pocket in front of him. There's things he can do for that. He could still be an effective quarterback as long as he's able to. I mean, we've seen Carson Wentz play on two bad ankles. So yeah, let's talk a little bit about J.J. Watt. What are the Cardinals doing? I don't understand this. The reports are that, you know, potentially seasoning, they're looking at it, they're not ruling out a return. We hear that he's got a torn labrum, a torn rotator cuff, torn biceps. And he's already missed one game. He's scheduled for surgery this week, meaning he's going to miss this game. So unless they think, I don't get it. So do they think he's going to return for Carolina? Because that's the thing I don't understand. You put him on injured reserve, it's not ending his season. It just means he has to miss three games. And so unless they felt that he was going to potentially be back for Carolina, I don't understand this. I don't understand why they continue to burn a roster spot. Does it make sense to you at all?
You know, the only thing I can think in, you know, I work in the medical field, so, you know, I don't work in orthopedics, so I don't have, like, a ton of insight, but I work with physical therapists, and I can talk to orthopedic surgeons. And the only insight I've kind of garnered, and they have no insight into Watt personally. So, like, this isn't like super inside health information about JJ Watt, but instead, this is their speculation of my asking them, you know, why wouldn't they just already put Watt on the IR? And they said there's times when, you know, the MRIs, the scans aren't good enough, and so you want to see what it is when you get in there before you make a call. And it could just be something as simple as cleaning some stuff up. I'm not trying to give anybody false hope. I'm not saying that's what's happening. What I'm saying is that could be the reason that they haven't put him on IR, that they're just going in, they're going to clean stuff up, and then, you know, see if he can play in 2 weeks. So, yeah, so he ends up missing 4 games. So they still could have put him on IR, but they wanted to know exactly what the extent of, you know, of everything was. I don't know why they didn't do the surgery before the trade deadline, maybe, right? Like, if that's the case, so you have an idea of if he can return or not. I truly don't know, but that's the only thing from the medical aspect that I've talked to people about that they think it could be. And like I said, nobody actually thinks it's that. They're just, they said, you know, this could be the one in, you know, the one in 20,000 shot that that's what it is. And that, you know, it's not a good chance and it's not going to happen, but that could be what it is.
That if that's the case, maybe we'll know something more this week. Maybe they'll put them on IR tomorrow. But like, even how they're at, how they're set right now, is if they put them on IR now, then potential return if it's a short recovery, because they've got the game this week. So you've got San Francisco this week, you've got Carolina next week, then you've got Seattle, then you've got the bye. And then you've got the last few games of the season into December. But it's just weird, the whole thing, because of the initial report that it was potentially season-ending. We're talking about a surgery that probably has 3+ months of recovery. And at this point, 3 months, we're talking, you know, be the end of February. So, Super Bowl. So, maybe he comes back for the Super Bowl. And even if you push that up and he recovers really quickly, he's barely making it just for the playoffs. It's just, this episode actually drops and people listen to it, that there has been some clarity. But that's just one of the interesting things. So we do have good news that Corey Peters is off the COVID reserve. Rodney Hudson, starting center, has been designated to return. He is tracking for being back in the lineup on Sunday, which is a big deal, especially since Max Garcia's Achilles kept him out of the game last week. Zaven Collins is an injury that's kind of watched. And the reason why I wonder about that one is because of the signing of Tahir Whitehead to the practice squad, you know, 10-year vet. It makes me wonder if he's probably going to miss some time. Which means, hey, you want to have someone up other than, you know, you need another guy up other than Tanner Vallejo and Joe Walker behind it. That way you've got a little extra veteran depth there. Interested to see what happens there. Also, the addition of Tavian Feaster back to the practice squad. I know Chase Edmonds, you know, left the game briefly and came back in with the shoulder. So it'll be interesting to see is that, because we're starting to see players get banged up at different positions. Hopefully Rashard Lawrence comes back with the combination of Corey Peters and Rashard Lawrence and ideally a more productive Zach Allen. You can ideally replicate the production, maybe not the impact, but at least the production that Watt was producing.
Yeah, and that's what you need, right? You need them in there in terms of creating opportunities for others and then getting their own. And as I said, obviously the creating the opportunities for others is tough to replace with Watt. That's probably the biggest thing he creates. But having a deeper rotation and more guys that can contribute, I think can replace the production that you're going to lose from losing Watt.
Absolutely. Coming up next on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, a bizarre Cardinals talk on the web. We're going to wrap up our show looking ahead to the San Francisco 49ers preview predictions. That's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, a bizarre Cardinals talk on the web as we wrap up this edition of the show. We're going to look ahead to the San Francisco 49ers. Right now, in terms of what we're looking at odds-wise, they began the week, the 49ers, as 2.5-point underdogs. The Cardinals, obviously, the 2.5-point favorites. However, in some sports books, the spread has shifted to being a straight pick 'em. I'm sure that has a lot to do, if not everything, to do with the injury to Kyler Murray and the potential that Colt McCoy will be starting that game. If it is Colt McCoy in that game, how do you see this game playing out?
You know, I think with Kyler Murray at 80%+, the Cardinals have a good chance to go in, learn from their mistakes in a tough, hard-fought win over the 49ers a couple weeks earlier and pull out an impressive victory, you know, something like 30-20. With Colt McCoy, I see them hunkering down, playing similar to what we saw with Green Bay this week, where they really try to control the clock, take the short stuff, keep the chains moving. They're not looking for big plays and try to squeeze the life out of a game and get into like a 20-17, 17-14 type of win. Either way, I think the Cardinals have the team to come out and win this game. Whether it's with Colt McCoy and the ground and pound strategy, or whether it's Kyler Murray, you know, playing slightly nicked up, but able to still put, you know, on the offensive show that we've come to know that this team can be.
It's interesting. It's, and maybe it's simply because it was the unknown. Trey Lance gave different challenges, and because they didn't have a start of film for him, I think it presented a special challenge for what the Cardinals defense was facing, which was some part of the problem, and is his mobility and things like that. Even though Jimmy Garoppolo gives them a better chance of winning, I think when you face the Cardinals, at least, it might be a case where Jimmy Garoppolo makes it less likely that they win, even though I will say, if it were Trey Lance, I think Trey Lance would fare far worse than he did in the first matchup, because they would be able to, they've got film on how they used him from start to finish in a game. That said, Jimmy Garoppolo back, they continue to have injuries, but he played a really good game this last weekend, over 300 yards passing, no turnovers. He rushed for 2 touchdowns, and so it wasn't like he's... though. Jimmy can move, and we've seen him, and Jimmy's played really well against the Cardinals before. So it's going to be interesting to see how they play. I think the Cardinals play better than they did against the 49ers if they've got Kyler Murray, but I'm really impressed with the way that the Cardinals have handled themselves this year, and after a loss like that, I think they're ready to kind of, you know... In some ways, you like a fans, like you want the Cardinals to win every game, but if you give them just enough adversity where they lose a game, it sometimes can remedy a few things as they move down the schedule. That doesn't necessarily every team needs to lose, but every week you keep with this long, long winning streak. There's also a mounting pressure that players begin to feel, and they should feel, and it allows them to kind of reset, and I think that's good. And plus, it looks like Elijah Mitchell probably is not going to miss. It's probably going to miss this game. He is injured again after a big performance in week 8 that they had against the Bears, because he rushed for like 139 yards, touched the ball. I think he did 18 carries, 19 carries, and you know, which doesn't happen a lot in Shanahan's offenses. And so far, every time that it happens, the guys get hurt.
Yeah, and you just feel bad for San Francisco at times. I mean, obviously not when the Cardinals are going up against them, but you just feel bad for San Francisco at times, because like you said, every time they seem to get on a little bit of a roll, they deal with these injuries. Their offense has been average. The surprise is how bad their defense has been, right? But you've had some issues with their pass rush. Javon Kinlaw has been banged up. Obviously, Nick Bosa was coming off the ACL, and he still hasn't kind of turned back into Nick Bosa. That four-game losing streak was rough. You know, in that time, they were averaging it looks like about 19 points a game, but then they were giving up, you know, 28 points a game. So it's when you look at it from that perspective, it's a lot to ask this team, because they just haven't been consistently healthy. Obviously, the Garoppolo situation, the biggest thing, but Garoppolo also, as you so eloquently pointed out, has not played well. It's not like he's played well when he was in there. Yeah, they're banged up. They haven't developed anybody outside of Debo Samuel. You know, Brandon Ayuk hasn't really done what we were hoping he would do coming out of ASU. Debo Samuel's a monster right now, you know, over 800 yards receiving on the season. So Debo Samuels has 819 receiving yards. The next highest on the team is George Kittle with 227. There's a 600-yard difference between number one and number two.
And we should see the Isaiah Simmons-George Kittle matchup finally, which is, you know, why they drafted Isaiah Simmons. It looks like Kittle, at least last weekend, Kyle Shanahan was saying that he anticipated Kittle's return to the lineup. But yeah, that the passing offense has been all Debo Samuel, and that then he has a hard time staying healthy as well. So it's really been unfortunate for him. That said, I think it's all going to look like, if you have to see what the personnel is going to look like, I think Kyler Murray is going to play. Like, if I had to guess right now, Murray will probably be playing at 75-80%. And that the Cardinals will be able to do enough. So in terms of matchups, you want to see Isaiah Simmons and George Kittle. You want to see Byron Murphy and Debo Samuel. Those are matchups that you want to see. Chandler Jones on Trent Williams. Well, hopefully Trent Williams is healthy enough to play. You want to see Mark on the other side, Marcus Golden with Mike McGlinchey, Nick Bosa, DJ. There are a lot of really good matchups to pay attention to in this game, honestly. DJ Humphries and Nick Bosa have locked things down. DJ's had a really good run against Bosa so far in his career.
Yeah, he has, and we don't want that to change, so let's not change that too much. And by the way, when I say that Nick Bosa's not all the way back, he still has 7 sacks, so he's playing well, but he's not the insane Nick Bosa that we saw his rookie year when he was setting the NFL on fire.
Yeah, that's true. It'll real interested to see, because this, I think, as we keep saying every week about the Cardinals, it's going to tell us a lot about this team. Can they overcame the COVID situation and the not having Cliff Kingsbury in Cleveland. They lost, so they overcame a lot against Green Bay and just fell short. Can they overcome more injury issues to maintain the role they're on? And more importantly, as I talked about before this season, the opportunity for the Cardinals to win their third division game is critical. I think that will all but, I mean, they're more than on track for the playoffs, but picking up that third division win, in my mind, locks a playoff spot for them, because it means that they're not going to, you know, they have to win 3 games in the division basically to make the playoffs, so that they don't end up losing tie breaks to people. And this will allow them to, if the 49ers manage to bounce back and get into the playoff race, and if the things kind of fall off the, you know, wheels fall off a little bit for the Cardinals, that if they beat the 49ers, that they will sweep that season series, gives them three division wins. And that means, if we're looking at the remaining schedule, you've got two games against the Seahawks and one against the Rams, that if you can get one more division win, you are putting yourself in a fantastic spot to win the division. That way you have tiebreakers in that way, because I don't think anyone is going to end up going 5-1 in the division this year unless the Cardinals pull that off. So it's meaningful in that sense, too. What type of character will they show this time around? Can they overcome that? Can they bounce back from the close win against the 49ers and put them more in their place? Or is this going to be a dogfight the whole time? I anticipate that it will be a dogfight in which the Cardinals win. It won't come down to the wire in that sense. Kind of like the last game where the Cardinals never trailed, never gave up the lead, but it was a stressful game for Cardinals fans to watch because it was close.
It was, and it was a close one, and it was, you know, not what we expected. And for them to come out and win the game like they did, it was good to see. And now we, you know, whether it's Murray or McCoy, we want to see that again, because, like you said, at this point, stacking wins, it matters more than winning how it looks. They just need to win. And like I said, the disappointing thing on the Green Bay Packers game wasn't that they lost, but it was the fact that they played so poorly and still had a chance to win at the end.
Absolutely. So, how do you see the game ending up?
Like I said, I think if Murray plays in this one, I think they're going to be able to do more offensively this time. They're going to be better prepared. 30-20 without Murray, I'm going to go 17-14 Cardinals win in a nail biter in an ugly matchup with Colt McCoy.
And for me, Kyler plays, it's a 27-21 win. If Colt McCoy ends up in there, 20-17. The Cardinals win, and I think they end up getting that season sweep, which will go a long way. It'll get them back on the winning side of things. They don't fall behind. So right now they're not number one in the NFC because of the tiebreak loss to the Packers, but they still sit up top of the division. And that way, no matter what happens, they remain atop of the division. They kind of keep control of that so they don't fade. So with that, anything else we want to bring up before we let these listeners go and we wait till our next week to hopefully talk about, hopefully talk about a win and then talk about the Hassan Reddick revenge game that's coming up next week?
No, let's just hope for good news on the health front for the Cardinals and to be honest, any of the teams.
Absolutely. So with that, this is the Rise Up Seared podcast, the best of Cardinals talk, the web, episode 331. That's Seth Cox. I'm Jess. We'll be back again next week. Thanks again for listening. As always, we'll talk to you again in a week from now. Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Seared podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms, so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up, Sea Red. Whoa!